All right, thank you. So my talk today is about biodegradable bio-based mulch films for organic production systems, and I'm presenting, and then also I have a new graduate student, Suresh Gimiri, who's working on this topic at Washington State University. So biodegradable mulch has the potential to be a sustainable technology if it provides equal benefits as plastic mulch, so weed control, moisture conservation, if it reduces labor costs for removal and disposal. So certainly in the production systems we're looking at, the ideal would be able to till it in at the end of the production season and have it do all good things and nothing bad. Reduces landfill waste, so the whole idea that we don't have to take plastic to the landfill, and if anybody was at the plastic recycling session yesterday or the day before, whenever that was, I'm sorry, it's all a blur, then you know that there are certainly other options for recycling, but everything costs money, and this is probably the lowest cost option is to be able to just till it in at the end of the season. If it completely biodegrades in situ, so that's a big question, and if there's no harm to soil ecology or the environment. So if biodegradable mulch film was tillable and then had no negative impacts on crop production environment, it would be a sustainable technology. Oops, I think I went too fast there, sorry. So on October 30th, 2014, the USDA National Organic Program, the NOP, released a new final rule that added biodegradable bio-based mulch film to the list of allowable substances. If you're familiar with the organic rule, it's code 7 of the federal regulations, so CFR 7. In order to be considered biodegradable and bio-based, according to this new rule, a mulch film must reach equal to or greater than 90% degradation in soil within 2 years, and that is according to these two standards. So I won't go into the standards at all. If you you need to understand the standards if you really want to understand this information, but I'm not going to go into them today. It needs to be bio-based according to ASTM 6866. It needs to meet compostability specifications of these various different standards. ASTM D6400 is the one that probably most of us work with. It must be produced without organisms or feedstocks derived from excluded methods, and this would be synthetic technologies as well as GMO. And I'm going to go into a little bit more detail on some of these issues. It must be produced without the use of non-bio-based synthetic polymers. Minor additives, that's colorants or processing aids, are not required to be bio-based. So that's the way that the rule was written. And if you can't tell, it's a little vague. So for example, I want to ask you what you all think. It must be bio-based. So in your opinion, Mark, what percentage would have to be bio-based?
I have no idea.
Yeah, throw out an idea.
100%.
100%. I heard 100%. Anybody else? If you were to make this decision, what percent has to be bio-based?
51.
Anybody else?
40.
All right, well, so basically they didn't define what bio-based was, so it really led to a lot of issues. And so when the first product was submitted to OMRI for testing by a company, and I have to see where I'm going here with my slides. That's my next slide. So when the first product was submitted to OMRI back in the early spring of this year, that product was allowed in Canada under the organic rule, and it'd been allowed in Canada because it was allowed in the EU under their organic rule. So basically Canada just harmonized with EU. They allowed the product in Canada because the company told them it was bio-based. OMRI looked at the product, and OMRI concluded that the product was not bio-based, and so therefore it was not allowed in the United States. That the Canadian Organic Board then met and decided that if the OMRIs had pretty conclusive information that this product was not indeed bio-based, therefore it was no longer allowed in Canada. And then basically the proverbial stuff hit the fan. And so that's really where we're at today. And so I think Canada, what they've decided is if you already have this product in hand, you can go ahead and apply it, but you can't buy new product and use it on certified organic ground. So it really brings up to the question of what is bio-based. That's really where we are today. So feedstocks are derived from renewable resources, that's plant or animal mass, via biological processes. So no synthetic processes allowed. And then has to be certified bio-based by measuring the level of carbon-14, which indicates recent fixation of carbon via photosynthesis. So fossil fuels don't have carbon 14 in them, so you could differentiate between fossil fuel and non-fossil fuel by simply doing the carbon 14 test. This is what a feedstock or a resin looks like going into the extrusion plant. So this is a product that we're working with in our experiment, which I'll end this presentation with. So this is an extruded plastic film, actually, for our research experiment. The dye has not been added to this, so it's a clear product. And this is what the resin looks like. It looks like a very small bead on your chain. If you were to look at your bead and kind of divide that in half or a quarter, that's what the resin material looks like that goes into the extruder that's here that then melts it and blows it into a film. So that bead then would have to be bio-based to some extent. So USDA, I don't know how many people saw this, they released a memo July 24th, so that was just a week or two ago. And in that memo, they included the report from OMRI, which was dated June 5th, so that was just a month or so ago. And what they concluded in that report was that all the products on the market today had a bio-based content of 10 to 20%. So it really, you know, brings into question, is a bio-based product really achievable under current technology? And I will say that what is happening is that memo is basically going to the NOSB. The director of the NOP, Miles McAvoy, submitted that letter to the NOSB. And what they're going to do, I will tell you, is that they're going to be asked to define or redefine bio-based. So maybe completely bio-based is unattainable, unrealistic, and maybe we should look at 10 to 20% bio-based as being okay. And then understanding that the remainder, 80 to 90% of the product is synthetic, fossil fuel, et cetera. So it's going to be very interesting, frankly, to see how that's going to play out with the organic stakeholders. And what I will say is if you have an opinion about that, then I strongly, strongly encourage you to make your voice heard, because otherwise the voice, the lobbying voice, which is BPI, is the one that's lobbying for that, and their voice is very loud, and they are in the DC offices writing this content. So it's very interesting to me to see how that all works. So I thought you might be interested in seeing what a couple of the what the constituents are of biodegradable mulch ingredients, of biodegradable mulch products. So here are the ingredients. These are the common ingredients that are used today. And basically, if you're going to do any of the work, then you need to know chemistry. And I'm not a chemist, so I work with polymer scientists, and they tell me how to pronounce these things, that I'm learning a little bit about what they are, but here's what they are. And then what I added for you in this column right here is the estimated rate of biodegradation in soil. And this is based on an article written by Dr. Brodhagen et al., of which I happen to be a co-author. But anyways, we published it this year, and that's an accumulation of, it's a review article of past studies where these products have actually been tested. So anyways, look at the cellulose as paper. So if you work in paper mulch cellulose, it's bio-based, it's biological. It is the only product that is certified or allowed for use in certified organic agriculture today in the United States. But of course, every product is different, so you need to know that you're using the right product. PBAT is used extensively in biodegradable mulches. It's an elasticizer. It gives flexibility and stretch to the product. It is synthetic. It's a hydrocarbon. It's synthetic. It has low, moderate biodegradation. So I'm not going to go through all of these, but just understand that when I go to the next list, then you see what these products are. You see that they're hydrocarbons. They're chemically synthesized. They have low, moderate degradation in soil. Okay, that's what I want you to kind of think about. So this list is, and I don't know how well you can see this, but this is a list of all the biodegradable mulches that we could find for sale in the United States as of a few weeks ago. And here are the trade names, and then here are the polymers that are in here. So this is Bio360. That used to be Biotello. They just renamed it this year. So what you can see is it's made with a Matter B feedstock, and that includes TPS, which is, and I have a list of synonyms down here, thermoplastic starch. So that's starch that's treated at very high temperatures in order to give it the flexibility properties to let it go through the extrusion process. And then it has PCL and PBAT. So those are both synthetic. They have low, moderate biodegradability in soil at anywhere from 80 to 90% of that product. So remember, that product is only 10 to 20% bio-based, which would be the TPS, and the remainder is the synthetics. So it really brings into question, you know, what is on the market and how biodegradable are they really in soils? And we frankly don't really know that over time. So my idea of the previous table and this table is to begin to get a working on the ground. So I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm just a vegetable scientist, and I just apply mulch and you know, I just want it to work. And so, you know, how do we try to ascertain whether or not the products we're using are likely to work? So this is my first attempt at trying to get to that information. So I did have a graduate student, Jeremy Cowan, who completed 3 years of field trials. And the 2010 data is not in this slide, but here's the 2011 and 2012 data. And we have various biodegradable mulches, so BioAgri, BioTello, Spunbond, PLA. PLA is a chemical that you'll see a lot in products. PLA and PHA are the two biologicals that I think have great, great potential and opportunity in agriculture. So this was an experimental. We worked with polyethylene is just plastic, and then WeedGuard Plus is the cellulose. And so in the high tunnel and open field, what we saw, you can just see the lines of biodegradation down here, visual deterioration, which is biodegradation, or degradation, excuse me. You can see that there was very low degradation in the tunnel both years, and in the open field, there was quite a bit of degradation. So whether or not you're using the product in an open tunnel or in a tunnel or an open field is going to have a huge implication of whether or not the product starts to deteriorate on the soil, and that's a weathering process, and the weathering process then influences whether or not it's going to biodegrade once you till it into the soil. Those two things are directly connected, and that's important to understand going forward. So then what we did is we buried mulches. So this is a three-year project, and in year one, at the end of the cropping season, we cut pieces of mulch, we put it into a mesh bag with soil, we buried the mesh bags in the plots in the field and in the tunnel, and then every 6 months we dug them up to see how degraded the products were. And this project was actually done in three sites, Knoxville, Tennessee, Lubbock, Texas, and Mount Vernon, Washington. And you can just see by the distribution of these lines that the biodegradation, so this is now biodegradation, which is separate from degradation. So biodegradation happens in the soil. And the first thing you see here is that you have three very different patterns of biodegradation based on your location. So this really raises the question, how likely is it that there's going to be one product that suits all environments? And I'm going to suggest that probably not, based on these data. And then the other issue is that take Knoxville, for example. So here you have biodegradation 60%. So these are the Bio 360 BioTello products that are reputed to be 90% biodegradable in 2 years, and they only achieved 60% biodegradation in this study. And understand that nobody has actually looked at them in soil, followed them in soil for an extended period of time. And so it's really all just hypothetical. So I find that our situation very interesting. So then what we did is we did this graph, and this is my current work right now. We're saying, okay, well, if you have a product that's only 90% biodegrades 90% over 2 years, and 10% is not biodegrading. And there's no reason why it should biodegrade because the companies are not made to make it biodegrade. Also, there's going to be a certain percent of content that is non-biodegradable. And so right now, under current technology, 4%, 5% is the maximum of non-biodegradable materials that's in any product. So 4 to 5% is not going to biodegrade at all, at least in our lifetimes or our children's lifetime. It's going to accumulate in soil. So I said, okay, well, what happens if you apply that mulch year after year, and you've got a certain percent that it's not going to biodegrade every year? And so this graph is just to give you some idea here. So this is one on this axis over here. One is one application of mulch. So if you were to put in mulch and you had and then we have three biodegradation rates, this would be 20% left, 10% left, and 4% left, and that's our best case scenario. After 25 years of a 4% degradation, you'd have one full application of mulch left in the soil. Okay, if you had 90% degradation, then after 10 years, you'd have one full application left. And if you had 80% degradation, then after 5 years, you'd have one full application left. And every 5 years, you get another full application. Does that make sense? And then this graph over here just gives you your soil to mulch ratio of what that would look like in your tillage volume, about 6 to 8 inches. So basically, under all these scenarios, there's accumulation of non-biodegradable material in your soil over time. So, bottom line, currently, no biodegradable mulch film is approved for use in certified organic production because so far none meet the requirement of using only bio-based feedstock. However, paper mulches are allowed. Before you use any product, check with your certifier. Some definitions here, and I did want to point this out right here. My time is up almost, but I wanted to point out that PLA is a bio-based ingredient that does not biodegrade in soil, so you're going to see it a lot. It biodegrades in composting, but not soil, and you need to know that. PCL, PBS, and PBAT are synthetic ingredients that biodegrade in soil. So it raises the question in the long term and sustainability, is it okay to have non-bio-based products that degrade in soil if they degrade 100%? Is that something that maybe we could be looking at? I don't know that it's going to be allowed in organic agriculture, but you might want to think before in other aspects. So our ongoing research, we have an SCRI grant on this. This is my student and co-author Suresh on this this presentation, and then Henry is our other graduate student, and they're standing next to the lysimeters in our fields, and these are our biodegradable mulch plots, and they're we're looking at biodegradation of the mulch on the ground, biodegradation in the soil, and then lysimeter water collection, et cetera. And we have a website, biodegradablemulch.org. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Miles.